Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Seth, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
The president's misconduct cannot be decided at the ballot box, for we cannot be assured that the vote will be fairly won.
Man, Adam Schiff just saying it, just putting it out there for the American people and saying it. Who's this we that he throws in here? Listen to this one more time. Who's the we can't be sure?
The president's misconduct cannot be decided at the ballot box. For we cannot be assured that the vote will be fairly won.
Hard to tell. Pretty sure it's him and Democrats. The people who are going to be left in the dust after this charade in the Senate is over. I guess I just said it. I wasn't really going to come out and be so decisive right away.
He said it so eloquently,
clearly?
Though.
Am I thinking more clearly? Am I speaking more clearly? Man. It's going on and on and on, and he's back. Did he even change clothes?
Oh, my gosh.
No, he doesn't sleep. I don't know if you guys knew that. He's a vampire.
Don't knock not sleeping. I am one with the vampires that do not sleep. Man, we're getting a mattress delivered to our house today.
Oh, so that's going to be great.
Yeah. I got a sick kid at home. Good grief.
Nothing like a new mattress.
Yeah, but you not sleeping is different. The way that Schiff doesn't sleep is he just stands in a closet
down.
And puts his hands across his chest like this.
Part of this mattress that I got from Kloss Furniture in Edwardsville, highly recommend shopping there, has a zero gravity thing. So it's kind of like vampire. Like it puts your feet up in the air or something.
Oh, yeah?
They showed us how this works and like, who does this?
Who's
why?
Like that?
And then they kind of explain. I'm like, yeah, I might do that.
I feel like zero gravity for mattresses is a little bit deceiving because I want to float.
Yeah.
I want to literally sleep in zero gravity.
I'm hoping that the magic of this mattress makes me feel like I'm floating.
Oh,
we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. I'll let you know. I want to get to Lindsey Graham because before the trial started today, we're not going to play the trial for you today. If something happens, if there's something super pensive or developing, we will bring you to it. But I have yet to hear them say anything that is brand new during the entire process here in the Senate. So why bore you? Stick with us. However, Lindsey Graham just gave kind of a quick press conference in the on Capitol Hill here. And he makes a very, very important point that I really appreciated. And it goes to the question about the relevance of the name Biden to what is going on right now. And the quick dismissal that we're hearing from Adam Schiff and the House managers about the irrelevance of that Biden name and what's going on right now. And basically, if you listen to Adam Schiff and those folks, you just assume, if you just took their word, that that's all kind of a put-to-bed conspiracy theory. Well, Lindsey Graham, he's saying something a little bit different here.
But the thing that I wanted to talk to you about was the Biden connection. I don't know how many times it was said by the managers that the Biden conflict of interest allegations has been debunked and has been, there's no scintilla of evidence in terms of conflicts of interest and potential wrongdoing. I know a lot about the Trump family and their dealings in Russia, I don't know anything about the Biden connection to the Ukraine. So when the managers tell me this has been looked at and debunked, by who? So that's becoming relevant because they talked about it almost 50 times that the president had no reason to believe that anything improper occurred in the Ukraine with the Bidens, and he was just out to create a political advantage. The question is, will that withstand scrutiny? The point of fact is that nobody, particularly in your business, has done much looking at what happened in the Ukraine with Hunter Biden. You're going to hear more about that, and I'll tell you more tomorrow. So I supported Mueller's ability to investigate the president's campaign and pretty much everything Trump, because I didn't know what they were up to and if they did have any connections with the Russians. 2 years later, I'm good to go. Somebody other than me looked at the Trump campaign. Nobody has looked at what's happened in the Ukraine. So in 2014, Joe Biden's given the Ukraine portfolio by President Trump. It's a notoriously corrupt place. Within a month of being given the Ukrainian portfolio, the vice president's son is hired by Burisma, one of the most corrupt companies in the Ukraine, at a fairly exorbitant salary. They also, Burisma, hires John Kerry's stepson, and on and on and on. The point is that the prosecutor, who I think was corrupt, opened up a case in May of 2014 against Burisma, raided the president's home, Burisma's president's home, in February of 2016, and 6 weeks later, 7 weeks later, was fired. In 2015, the president of Burisma, Zolcheka, was named by our ambassador as somebody the Ukrainian prosecutor should look at for corruption. The person who followed the fired prosecutor dropped the case against Burisma. I don't know. Doesn't pass the smell test to me. Why are you paying Hunter Biden? You can say they're corrupt, but they're not stupid. Does it make sense to hire the son of the guy in charge of the portfolio for the American government? And from the time they raided the president's home, Joe Biden called the president of the Ukraine 4 times, got on a plane, and said, if you don't fire this guy, you don't get the $1 billion. I love Joe Biden, but I can tell you, if the name was Trump, there'd be a lot of questions asked. So what I want out of all this, I want the public to understand that the claims they're making that there's no there in Biden's, nobody's looked, somebody should, and I've looked, and I've got a lot of questions. Were they buying insurance by hiring Hunter Biden? Because they sure as hell wasn't buying expertise.
Can we ask you about the case that you heard
yes,
there?
Chuck Schumer, I will.
Chuck Schumer today said, he said, it may have planted the first seed in their minds that perhaps the president did something very wrong here. Was that seed planted in your mind or in any other Republicans' minds?
So let's hear from what the other side says. Did they selectively take testimony of witnesses to tell a story, which I thought was well told? Will it stand up? So they got caught, is why they released the funds. The problem with cases like this is all of us are involved in this issue. So when they froze funds to the Ukraine, I was convinced by people at the Department of Defense that one of the reasons we want to take a time out is we've got a newly elected president we don't know anything about. I was told that by DOD. Now, as you fast forward, they're making the argument that Donald Trump's temporary freeze of funds caused the Ukrainian army to collapse and people die. Nothing could be further from the truth. They got more aid from the Trump administration, the Obama administration, and when you look at what people were saying on the ground, they had capability they never had before. So on September the 10th or the 11th, I called the White House and said, I'm okay with this guy. I'm going to vote with Durbin at the Appropriations Committee to make sure the aid flows for the rest of 2019. Rob Portman called the same day. It's pretty clear to me that when Rob called and I was going to join forces with Durbin, they were going to lose a vote. Now, that's a theory of why the aid was released that I know about that you didn't hear. So the point is, let's see what the other side says. Then we'll make our decision about what the president actually did or didn't do.
So Lindsey Graham speaking at that press conference there, and the reason why I wanted to play it is because that shows that this Ukraine aid was being held. Lindsey Graham says that these senators who were involved in the process were briefed by DOD, said we need to hold off on this Ukrainian aid because we need to know about Zelensky. We need to know if this place is corrupt and continuing the corruption we've been investigating, or if they're good for it. And then once Dick Durbin and apparently Senator Rob Portman decided, no, we're good, this is good, we believe in this, and they convinced Lindsey Graham, as such, they all call Donald Trump. Donald Trump, knowing that he was going to lose a vote publicly for something, then he moves forward with releasing the aid. That is not a page in the chapter of this long storybook that we've been hearing. And I think it's a very important one, which is definitely why it'll be interesting to see why we have to hear the whole side of the story. Pretty interesting stuff there from Lindsey Graham to hear an entire different version of this story, or part of this story that we haven't been discussing before. So we are live on Facebook, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Make sure you've got the radio.com app on your phone. Find 97.1 FM Talk and the Annie Fry Show right there. And you can follow along with us if you're in the car now, but you're going to take us back to work with you or back home. We appreciate you being here. We're going to talk about a lot of things today, not just impeachment, but we are going to also have all of the impeachment coverage for you. Hans von Spakovsky is going to join us here, but we're going to get to some headlines that we might not have been talking about as much.
Now, let's get to the highlights.
According to Nielsen and Reuters, about 11 million people watched the start of the U.S. Senate impeachment trial of President Donald Trump on Tuesday. The audience figure on Tuesday covered the 4.5 hours of daytime coverage by 6 different cable and broadcast networks that aired live telecasts: Walt Disney's ABC, Viacom's CBS, Comcast's NBC and MSNBC, AT&T's CNN, and Fox Corp's Fox News all aired it. But for context, the Golden Globes, hosted by Ricky Gervais earlier this month, had 18.3 million viewers running for a shorter time and on just one network.
Just for reference.
Members of the Missouri House moved a tough penalty for people caught with fentanyl in the state yesterday. Sponsor Nick Schroer wants to give local prosecutors more tools to convict people who sell the opioid. Under the new bill that passed the House with a voice vote, selling or trying to sell more than 10 milligrams of fentanyl would be punished by 5 to 15 years in prison. Those selling more than 20 milligrams would face 10 to 30 years behind bars. Possession would also receive tough punishment, with sentences for possession for 10 milligrams up to 7 years behind bars. The sentences would rise 5 to 15 years for 20 milligrams or more. Schroer says fentanyl trading is illegal under federal law, but not state law. The bill needs one additional House vote before moving to the state Senate.
President Trump plans to address Friday's March for Life, becoming the first sitting president in the event's 47-year history to attend the Washington protest against the landmark Roe v. Wade ruling. Trump announced his plans via a tweet Wednesday, the 47th anniversary of the 1973 Supreme Court decision, as House Democrats begin laying out their case in the Senate impeachment trial for removing him from office. So he sent out a tweet just yesterday and was like, I'm going to the rally.
Broke the tweet record yesterday for presidential tweets. And someone said he broke the presidential tweet record. And I'm like, was he tweeting presidentially? Oh, no, that's not what they meant. No. I'm so confused.
The Cardinals are bringing back backup catcher Matt Wieters for another season, the 33-year-old. And the Birds finalized a one-year, $2 million contract yesterday. He started 54 times last season and hit 214 with 11 home runs and 27 runs batted in. And the Big 12 suspended 4 players from the Kansas-Kansas State basketball game earlier this week. KU's Silvio D'Souza received the bulk of the punishment as the league handed him a 12-game suspension.
Strong enough?
He's the one in the photo with a stool raised over his head. I don't think so. His teammate David McCormick was suspended 2 games. K-State suspensions include 8 games from James Love, 3 games for Antonio Gordon. The players involved may still receive additional punishments from their respective schools.
Any criminal charges for, like, assault and battery?
Nobody thinks that's too strong?
No.
I think it's very appropriate.
I think it's we don't have time to discuss this right now. We should talk about it here later in the show. But NCAA basketball is, to me, is like the last pure thing. And it is just, it's a joke. Like my son's basketball coach keeps telling
us. Who's naive now?
Yeah, right. Kansas, it's the purest of them all.
Who's naive now?
They take their basketball very seriously. It's very clean.
They had strippers and Snoop Dogg at their preseason.
What's wrong with strippers?
Are you recruiting for Kansas now?
I'm just pointing out that
that's a negative. Are you just trying to throw out to the St. Louis Metro East region?
I'm just saying that, you know,
apparently you weren't at the Illinois Policy Christmas party.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We've seen one motion after the other. They've been redundant. They've been making the same arguments. This seems to be a time for Adam Schiff and the House managers to lecture the American people and to attack the president. But, you know, there's an old saying that if you have the facts, you bang the facts. If you have the law, you bang the law. If you don't have either, you bang the table. Well, this afternoon, we've seen a whole lot of table banging.
Ted Cruz talking, giving his reaction to what he's heard so far. Adam Schiff up making the case for the abuse of power of Donald Trump. I guess Jerry Nadler is speaking right now. You guys want to listen to that? No, you don't. You know what you want to listen to? You want to listen to the expertise of our guest, Hans von Spakovsky, Senior Legal Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Hans, I have to ask you, first and foremost, what percentage of all of this are you sitting through and listening to?
Well, unfortunately, I have the television on in my office, and I do have it on, although it's kind of like traffic droning in the background on a highway close to my house. I mean, that's what Adam Schiff and these others sound like. Because, look, everything they're saying, we've already heard before at the hearings that they held, and they aren't actually coming forward with proven facts. I mean, a lot of it yesterday was calling the president names and making accusations and playing, you know, bits and pieces from videotapes of critics of the president, you know, like the former ambassador to Ukraine, whose biggest complaint was that she got fired by the president, you know, none of which supports what we're supposed to be looking at, which is, did the president engage in such serious misconduct that he should be removed from office? And I don't think so far they've done an adequate job of doing that. And look, you know, you played a clip from Senator Ted Cruz, and he is right about one thing. If they actually had the facts and the evidence to prove their case, there would be no need for them to be making these exaggerations and saying things like the president is a despot. That's an absurd claim to make.
We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky, Senior Legal Fellow at Heritage Foundation, online at heritage.org. Let's put ourselves in the realm of everything the Democrats are accusing Donald Trump of doing, he did. He's guilty of all of it. Does it rise to the level of impeachment? Does he deserve to be removed from office if, in fact, he did everything that the Democrats and the House managers are saying he did?
The answer to that is no. And the key thing for people to remember is that nothing actually happened. In other words, this whole thing boils down to aid for Ukraine being held up for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks. That's what this whole thing is about. And the aid was eventually released, sent to Ukraine. Nothing else happened. There was no investigation of Joe Biden by the Ukrainian government. I mean, basically nothing happened, and that's what all this is about. The other key thing here is that, look, the Democrats are saying something that is just, again, I hate to use the word, I keep using the word absurd, but it's absurd. They're basically saying that if the president does something that's completely legal, but that he had a corrupt purpose, that that's somehow wrong and you can be impeached for that. Well, again, that's absurd. Almost everything that presidents do, they think, what effect will that have on my election and my popularity? If what the action they're taking is perfectly legal and legitimate, it doesn't matter what their motive was.
Hans, this is Ryan Wiggins. Does it seem to you as if it's possible, if Trump were to win election again this year, that the House would go through this possibly again on some other point of contention? I mean, could we see them impeach him twice?
Yes. Yeah, that, because they have left all rationality far behind them. At one point, listen, remember, the whole Russian election collusion claim has been totally disproven. And, Adam Schiff actually brought that up. He brought up Russia when he was speaking yesterday, even though we all know there's absolutely nothing to it. I mean, that shows that they're just not thinking rationally about this. The Trump derangement syndrome, which has affected them, their personal hatred of the president is to the point where they just there's just like no common sense in what they're doing.
Let me ask you this, Hans. I know some people have. Well, there's a large spectrum on what people believe that Donald Trump was effectively trying to do with his conversations and the aid with Ukraine, his discussions with President Zelensky. Is it possible or is it probable that Donald Trump was really trying to prove something more about the 2016 election than he was trying to affect the 2020 election? Or is it undeniable that Donald Trump's actions with Ukraine definitely were with the understanding that it would have an implication on his ability to win in 2020?
The latter is definitely not true. In fact, the biggest problem the Democrats have is you can look at that phone call. They are imagining that his motive was to affect the 2020 election. There's nothing in that conversation whatsoever about that at all. So they are basically saying that he had this particular motive. They have no facts, no conversational details that show that that was his motive. It's just as easy to imagine that his motive was, the evidence is very clear. This evidence is undisputed. We know, because he admitted it, that the former vice president of the United States used his position as vice president to threaten the withholding of aid to Ukraine unless they stopped a corruption investigation that involved his son. Mm. Now, it is a totally legitimate inquiry for the president of the United States to want to know whether a prior vice president abused the powers of his office to benefit his own family, isn't it?
Yeah, I would absolutely think so. Is the assumption that Donald Trump, that his actions in Ukraine were going to benefit his ability to win in 2020, is that only conjecture or just a personal opinion on the part of the person saying that clearly he was going to benefit from this in the 2020 election? Is that just somebody's opinion about how they feel the president was? There's nothing that indicates that there was going to be any specific effect. There's no evidence out there at all. That's just how somebody has seen the president and the judgment that they have personally made about how they feel.
That is pure speculation and conjecture on behalf of Democrats, because there's no evidence whatsoever anywhere in the record that says that, where the president is saying, well, I'm doing this because it's going to help me in the 2020 election. That just isn't there. It's all speculation and conjecture. That's what the impeachment is based on. And look, as you know, the second impeachment article is is Congress getting upset and saying that he abuses power by not responding to Congress? Well, they're in essence saying that his assertion of a constitutional privilege, executive privilege, that somehow makes him impeachable. And again, that's absurd, too. Executive privilege was claimed by the prior president, President Obama, to not turn over documents and information about Operation Fast and Furious. And no one ever said in either political party that he should be impeached or that it was an abuse of power for him to assert that constitutional doctrine.
Well, based on that, and since you're senior legal fellow at Heritage, here's a legal question for you. If the Senate does decide to have witnesses and they call Hunter Biden or Joe Biden to the stand, can they legally claim immunity in any way, or would they have to testify?
Or can there be an Obama executive privilege exerted on behalf of Biden, the former vice president?
Yes.
The answer to all that is yes. Hunter Biden could come in and say, I refuse to testify because I'm asserting my Fifth Amendment rights to prevent being potentially criminally prosecuted because of what I say here. And the executive privilege claim applies to both President Trump, and if President Obama wants to assert it on behalf of his vice president, he could do that. Would he do that? That's a very interesting question.
But
he hasn't been very – President Obama certainly has not been very supportive of
sure.
Vice President Biden in his presidential run.
Well, in terms of Joe Biden, that may be the case. But in terms of Hunter Biden, could Obama protect him? Or
no.
If they subpoena him, wouldn't he have to testify?
He would have to testify. He would have to be there, but he could try to assert his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Even if he's not in a courtroom, he could still do that in the Senate.
Hans, based on what you've seen so far, do you believe that we are going to see a number of witnesses testify in this trial?
No, if I was a Las Vegas odds maker, I would be gambling and betting that we're not going to see witnesses. Because I think what's going to happen is after the case has been presented, after the president has presented, his defense team has presented their case, and the senators have asked all their questions, I think the Republicans are going to say, you have failed to prove your case. There's no point in hearing from further witnesses, and we vote to acquit the president.
The GOP defense, which I guess will start, what, Friday or Saturday, do you anticipate it being as long and lengthy as what we are seeing from the House managers, or do you think it will be condensed because of what you just said, that the prosecution was not strong enough, they make their case, they're done, and they're over with?
I suspect it may be shorter. We saw that the first day. The first day on Tuesday, we saw Democrats droning on and on and on. When Republicans came up, they were much shorter and to the point. And I suspect the same thing is going to be true of the president's defense team. By the way, we should point out, the lawyers that are there defending the president, they are great professionals. All of them are extremely experienced litigators, constitutional law experts. They make the representatives who were picked by Nancy Pelosi on the House side look like a bunch of amateurs.
Really? That's interesting.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
An interesting perspective. One last question for you, Hans, before we let you go here. Just kind of curious of your thoughts on Donald Trump saying, you know, he commented that he'd love to, like, go sit there in the front row and stare at these, whatever he called them. I don't know. It's probably a name thrown in there. Rand Paul said he'd love for the president to be his guest. Is there any restriction on President Trump just going and sitting in that room and taking it in like anybody else might in the gallery or with the senators?
Nope. No, he could certainly be there. but you know, Bill Clinton did not show up for his impeachment. But, you know, this president is a bit more confrontational, I think, than Bill Clinton ever was.
Just a tad. Hans, great to have your expertise on with us today. Sorry to take you away from the trial, but at the same time, you're welcome. We appreciate your
time. No, that was actually a good thing.
Yeah, we appreciate you, Hans. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Heritage.org is the website. You can follow him at H. Von Spakovsky. I have said this since we concluded the Mueller report and the Mueller investigation. Everything Hans predicted came true. Every time there would be a new bombshell report, when BuzzFeed would do the hard investigative reporting that BuzzFeed is famously known for, people would be freaking out, and we'd get Hans on. He'd be like, this is nothing. This is ridiculous. And it always turned out to be nothing and ridiculous. So I'm very, very grateful for his time on this show, and I would encourage you to go to heritage.org to learn more about Hans there and tweet at him, H. Von Spakovsky on Twitter. It's the coolest name in the business. We'll be back in just a minute with your phone calls, 314-241-9797.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
But let me just say something. For everybody who's watched the Democratic primary presidential field, that clown car can't win. They keep getting out and they just keep getting worse.
Does that sound that funny if, like, Chuck Schumer says that?
Mm-mm. Nah.
Well, or Chris Christie.
Anytime anybody mentions a clown car, it's kind of funny. Yeah. But with a Southern accent, it's pretty funny.
It sounds funnier.
Yeah, clown car.
Jerry Nadler. Clown cars? Jerry Nadler, speaking of the clown car, still talking? What's he talking? Can we just pop him up and see? Let's see if there's anything. Stay with us. We're just peeking. Go ahead.
Structure, original meaning, congressional precedents, mm-hmm.
common sense,
or the consensus of credible experts. In other words, it conflicts with every relevant consideration. Professor Gerhardt succinctly captured the consensus view in his testimony.
Professor Gerhardt, does a high crime and misdemeanor require an actual statutory crime?
No, it plainly does not. Everything we know about the history of impeachment reinforces the conclusion that impeachable offenses do not have to be crimes. And again, not all crimes are impeachable offenses. We look at, again, at the context and gravity of the
misconduct. Sounds like they're making the case that the president didn't commit a crime, but we still want to impeach him.
No, that's exactly what they're doing. That's not suggested.
Ridiculous.
I don't know.
Well, no, he didn't commit a crime. We all know he didn't commit a crime, but we're still impeaching him.
But
that's the point, right?
Yeah. It's not the point whether he committed a crime or not. The point is whether he's impeachable, and he is.
Even though it says that you have to commit a high crime or misdemeanor, it doesn't matter if he committed a crime.
Who cares? Is anybody less likable than Adam Schiff right now?
I don't know. Lindsey Graham likes him.
He complimented him.
Did you see him shake hands?
He said he was well-spoken.
It's a weird exchange because part of me is like, good. I'm glad that they're getting along. But, really, are they?
I saw that on Twitter, and I was reading the reactions. Like, please, that's the Southern bless your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought, too.
And I kind of felt the same way. When I saw that, I was like, they're respectful to each other. Like, listen, Cards fans and Cubs fans, we, like, agree to hate each other. You don't really hate them, like, as a whole. But you have to because it makes it more fun. The Cardinals players they're not obligated to actually hate the individuals who play for the Chicago Cubs. In fact, the more you look into how all of baseball works and how many of these players played on Little League World Series teams together and played together in college and played together in high school, like the understanding that while there is a rivalry there and they certainly don't want their opponent to win, there is an understanding that they don't hate each other. The same goes with these people. Lindsey Graham and Chuck Schumer and Dianne Feinstein, who checked out an hour early last night because she's 84 and she was sleepy. She told people good night and she left.
I'm done with it.
I don't blame her. Might be the most sensible thing that took place yesterday. When you consider the fact that these people do a lot of things together, and a lot of the things they do together are probably very impactful in our country, but they're boring, so you don't hear about them. They don't inherently hate one another until it gets personal. And just when it gets personal, if you live in D.C., it's a different reality. It's a different world. just like Chuck Schumer. You remember when Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi were sitting in the Oval Office and Donald Trump was sitting in the center there? And I don't remember what it was they were particularly fighting over at that point in time. But Chuck Schumer had his elbows on his knees and his hands folded in front of him and his head down, as he's apt to do. And I think Nancy and Trump were fighting back and forth. And then people were reporting on how often Trump and Schumer, Schumer's from New York. Schumer and Trump have a long relationship. Mm-hmm. And anybody who competes at that high of a level, be it in business or be it in politics, you love a formidable opponent. You are going to win and lose, but you're always, if you're somebody who has that competitive drive in your gut, not like I know anybody like that, you want the next opportunity to compete. Competing is what makes winning fun. And if you're guaranteed a win, if it's an easy win, it doesn't feel as good. That's why we don't give out trophies to everybody. Chuck Schumer and Donald Trump have a long history. How much money over the course of time has Donald Trump given to Chuck Schumer?
Right.
It's just seeing pictures. Yesterday was Donald and Melania Trump's wedding anniversary.
Oh, nice.
15 years. Saw pictures of their wedding.
That's a long time.
With Bill and Hillary Clinton. It's a weird world. So seeing, like when I saw Adam Schiff talking to Lindsey Graham and Lindsey Graham saying, you were very well spoken. You can say a lot of things eloquently that are dumb. A lot of things. I don't know. Some people were getting bent out of shape about that. I wasn't so much.
I wasn't either. I like that he does that, partially because Lindsey Graham is one of those guys who you do look at and say, I think he's actually pretty impartial, or at least I like to think that he is. Mm-hmm. So when he comes out and gives a fiery rebuke of something, mm-hmm. you say, oh, Lindsey Graham said that?
And he means it.
And he really means it. And he is one of those guys you do know, he kind of makes his way around the hill. He has had, up until recently, a pretty good relationship with both sides of the aisle. And it's probably because of stuff like this, saying, look, I completely disagree with you, but you did a good job and you were well-spoken. I'm not going to comment on the content of what you said, but
it's sportsmanship.
Nice work.
You were brilliant up there. You made fantastic points.
That's a different statement.
It was a pleasure to sit there and listen to you.
Took my breath away.
You spoke words good.
Yeah. Right.
We've all been complimented in ways that we knew someone was just trying to find something mm-hmm. not negative to say. You know it. You know it when you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
We're all rah-rah. We all got our uniforms on. How many people's minds are being changed right now? If anything, I think people are going, this is boring. You're going to bore people to death into being apathetic about the impeachment of the president. And anybody who thought, I go back to Ryan's friend who texted him like, hey, what the heck is going on last week? Is President Trump done? You know, I've heard people suggest when they voted to impeach him in December. Like, I remember Vice President Mike Pence was trending on Twitter and all you had to do was search Mike Pence. And they're like, why did we do this? Mike Pence is just as bad. He's way worse. I can't believe. And it's like, slow down, folks. It's a lot of people who don't understand what is going on because they don't care to. It's an active choice to not know what's going on. So if you've chosen to, I'll just flip on CNN for the day. I'll flip on MSNBC for the day because I know Fox is the great Satan, so I'm not going to turn that in because you know that you hate the president and you want him out of office. And you tune in and you see this, you're like, this is not compelling. We have not culture moved in the direction to consume this, even if it is important.
No way.
We are not made for this.
No one's changed their mind. I haven't heard one person, an average Joe human being, say, I watched this and now I'm sold. No one's changed their mind.
Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, I think polls on impeachment right now are pretty much just mirroring what the elections
are. Do you think Donald Trump should be impeached?
Yes, sir. He should definitely be impeached. We do not need him. No.
Why is that?
Because he's just doing a lot bad in the country that I don't agree with.
Okay. Kick him out of office. Mm-hmm. He's only the most powerful person in the entire world, but she's uncomfortable with it. Boot him out.
I just think he's bad.
You put it past Donald Trump to show up at this hearing? I don't.
He could show up today and just elbow Jerry Nadler out of the spotlight.
Weasel him out of there. If that happens, we'll have it here on 97.1 FM Talk. Tires when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.